This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Where the hostages and missing families forum held a march calling for Hamas to release the hostages. Today marks 6 months since the war began, and Israel announced it's pulled most of its ground troops out of the Gaza Strip, but says the war is not over. CBS's Holly Williams is in Tel Aviv.
My colleague, CBS News producer Marwan Al-Ghul, is in southern Gaza, and he says it is now possible to move freely from southern Gaza all the way up to central Gaza. And that has not been possible for the past 3 months.
I'm Peter King. With humanitarian aid slowed to a crawl and the deaths of seven World Central Kitchen workers last week, members of Congress are asking whether or not unconditional aid to Israel is still a good idea. National Security spokesman John Kirby on CBS's Face the Nation.
The president was clear with the prime minister. If there's not changes, if things don't get better, then we're going to have to make changes of our own.
Kirby says communication between aid workers and the Israeli military simply has to improve.
The head of the UN's Atomic Watchdog Agency condemned a drone strike on a Russian nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Grant Farrett is with the BBC.
Zaporizhia is close to the front line of the fighting and was a focus of concern early in the war. But Rafael Grossi said this was the worst such incident in nearly 18 months. He said no one could possibly benefit from attacks on nuclear facilities.
It's been almost 2 weeks since the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says they hope to have the port back open by the end of May.
It's realistic, and I think that it's going to take something that's going to be a 24/7 operation, which has been
full functioning.
More on Face the Nation. President Biden has vowed to use federal dollars to rebuild the bridge. Got your special glasses ready for the eclipse tomorrow? The path of totality rolls through central Texas, and astronomy professor Heather Appleby says even though it may be cloudy,
in Texas, we're the first major area that's going to be able to see something. It won't be ideal, but we'll get to see it.
The NCAA Women's Championship game is in the fourth quarter now, with South Carolina leading over Iowa. But both teams have been really good for local businesses. This woman manages a bar in Clive, Iowa.
I think with Caitlin and her being in it now and making such an impact, we have gotten such a bigger crowd.
Now, looks like we're 4 minutes and 13 seconds into the fourth quarter. South Carolina is leading Iowa 80 to 75. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Conservationists are split on President Biden's efforts to strengthen the Endangered Species Act. Mike Moen explains.
Environmental and conservation groups voiced strong opposition to the 2019 changes carried out by the Trump administration, arguing they gutted core elements of the longstanding law. Last week, Biden staff announced it's reinstating blanket protections for threatened species, and language dealing with economic interests was removed. Susan Holmes with the Endangered Species Coalition says further action is needed.
The regulations repair some of the holes, but still leaves some big holes in that safety net.
A change not being reversed is a rollback concerning critical habitat, and Holmes says that poses challenges for migratory species. She points to the comeback of the whooping crane as progress that could be derailed. Republican leaders are critical of the new revisions, saying crucial reforms are being tossed aside. Various industries have long called for looser regulations under the law, and if Trump wins the 2024 race for the White House, it's expected they'll make a renewed push to reverse Biden's changes. Holmes says Congress can help mitigate this back-and-forth cycle by boosting funding for the Endangered Species Act.
We are seeing a shrinking of the amount of wildlife that we have, and because of climate change and the biodiversity crisis, you know, wildlife are really having a hard time.
Other wildlife organizations suggest the Biden administration should have acted much sooner to restore protections. Before publishing the final rules, Federal officials said they received nearly 500,000 public comments. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowen.
Everybody, Todd Albo, Monday noon to 2, President Biden is in Wisconsin. We'll have it for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers with a low around 43. Mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s on your Monday. It will be breezy tonight and tomorrow. For Monday night, partly cloudy, 45. Some isolated showers possible Tuesday. Otherwise, partly sunny and highs in the upper 60s.
Currently, 42 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. Kicking off Hour 2, we go to the John and Gordy Show from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison. This week, John and Gordy welcome to the show Jim Healy, one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Mad Radio, WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, all of your social media dial, tune it in, or the Civic Media app, easy to get, and you can tune in anywhere in the world.
That's right. I talked to somebody the other day who was on vacationing in Spain. Listening. They were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. On vacation.
Yeah.
On the app.
Unbelievable. And we have a special guest in the studio this morning. It's Jim Healy. He was here prior to this, and we were talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival. And we're going to talk more about it because it begins tonight, one movie at least, tonight. And then it just rolls on for 8 days, 8 days a week.
Right.
There you go.
You're all ready. You're all set. You're all primed for all the movies.
Yeah.
So how does it all kick off tonight? What's the...
Kicking off tonight at the Barrymore Theater.
Yep.
We have a sold-out screening of Io Capitano, which is a new film by Matteo Garrone, who's one of the great contemporary Italian filmmakers. I don't know if you know the series Gomorrah, but that was based on a movie that he made. This is his latest film. It was just one of the five international features nominated for the Oscar a few months ago. It's a marvelous film.
Is it overdubbed with English?
No, or? It will be. It presented, it's mostly in French and Nigerian dialects. It's a film set in Africa and Libya.
Yeah.
And it'll be presented with English subtitles.
Okay, subtitles.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
And that's at the Barrymore Theater, and you're going to have, of course, opening night reception.
Yes.
Lots of food.
Yes.
Popcorn.
I suppose so, yeah. I guess I think the Barrymore does do popcorn.
Gotta have popcorn. Real butter on the popcorn.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Diets don't matter anymore. We found that out this morning.
Oh, I'm a popcorn
previous
fanatic.
Topic. I am too.
A good fresh popcorn.
Always, yeah.
You know, the best way to make it is the stir crazy made out of West Bend.
No.
Yeah. What's this? It's a stir bar. And you put your oil in there and a popcorn and stirs it just like in the movie theaters. Yeah,
John,
I have
you just can't help giving food advice.
You know, no, that's right.
I know. What is wrong with me, right?
Lately, you've just been all over that.
And then I go to Badger Popcorn.
Yeah.
And they have great popcorn there. It's a very,
you get your supplies
it's
there.
A great hybrid popcorn, by the way. Big kernels, yes. And I get, and I mix the white and the yellow together because the yellow is very corny.
Wow.
And the white is nice and fluffy and tasty as well. So then, you know.
I thought I was a popcorn fanatic.
Is that fanaticism?
It could be. What kind of box do you like for your popcorn? You like the trapezoid box?
I have the little tubs that you can buy at the store, and it says popcorn on the side.
That's the nice. Disposable or
they? No, those are permanent. Okay. Permanent plastic. Okay. Plastic,
can we talk about the movies again here? What else is going
on? All right. Well, anyway, so the opening night is tonight at the Barrymore, but we've got, then every movie you can possibly think of is going to be out there in the theaters around Madison. And what are some of the theaters that they can see some of these movies
in? So we're at the Barrymore tonight and through the end of the festival. So we'll be there until next Thursday.
All right.
And then starting tomorrow
on campus.
On campus, we will be at the Chazen Museum of Art, the UW Cinematheque at Vilas Hall, the Music Hall building on Park Street, and also the Marquee Theater at Union South.
Yes.
And then on Monday we're only at the Barrymore and three screens out at Flicks Brewhouse at the Eastgate.
That's right. Yeah.
How many films will you be showing during the film festival altogether?
Movies of varying length, so shorts and features. Yeah. It's right around 150.
Wow.
We're usually around that number every year.
Yeah.
You know, one movie that stood out for me,
please,
all these fairly artsy documentaries and movies,
right,
is The Tingler.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
I don't know The Tingler. What is that?
Tingler is one of the more interesting movies ever made.
Okay. Well, first of all, this is a film from 1959 that was released by Columbia Pictures. And in the festival this year, we are celebrating.
Are you actually going to do all of the things that they wanted the theaters to do at the time?
We're trying. We're bringing in a specialist to install what is known as Percepto.
Yes, Percepto,
which was William Castle's gimmick. Castle was the writer, producer, director of The Tingler, and with every film, starting with The House on Haunted Hill, he had a gimmick. Usually ended with the word "O." So, House on Haunted Hill had Emerjo, and later on, 13 Ghosts had Illusiono. But Percepto is, I think, it's meant to suggest that you perceive, you will be able to perceive with this special process that when the Tingler has entered the theater and then, of course, in order to save yourselves, you must scream for your lives.
Scream real loud.
Scream very loud, and that will that will render the Tingler useless.
Now, if you don't know what the Tingler is, it's a spine.
Everybody has a Tingler. It grows on your spine.
But you have to be frightened when you die.
Right.
And that brings life to the spine, the Tingler.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And Vincent Price plays a coroner in the film who removes a Tingler from the spine. It gets loose.
And it gets loose.
In a theater.
No.
And then it will get loose in our theater. We have two screenings of the Tingler tomorrow night in Percepto. That's part of our Columbia Pictures 100th anniversary celebration.
And that's at the Cinematheque.
At the Cinematheque at Vilas Hall.
Okay. By the way, I think you're part of that, aren't you,
Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to be running all the projectors over at the Chazen this weekend.
Oh, okay, Chazen. All right. Okay.
We have we have some 35mm film screening at the Chazen.
Yep.
Sam's one of our 35mm projectionists.
One of the great editors also, in case it breaks or burns.
That's great.
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. It's not fun, but it does.
It does happen. Oh, no. All right. Well, we're going to have, I'm going to bring in the trailer for The Tingler as well. William Castle.
You'll hear
William
Castle.
Little introduction. It's fantastic stuff.
Okay. So let's highlight at least a few more of these films coming up over the first part of the festival. It goes for 8 days total.
Right.
Oh, we're talking with Jim Healy about the Wisconsin Film Festival here. And by the way, you can call us if you have questions at 608-879-8255. Call us or text with a question if you have about the Wisconsin Film Festival.
We have things from all over the world
and
throughout film history. So, in fact, on Sunday morning, we're showing two back-to-back Frank Capra silent films from 1928. We're going to have live piano accompaniment. That's also part of the Columbia retrospective that's in the festival.
And there's something great about silent films. I just love, especially the comedies of like Buster Keaton, you know, Chaplin, all the greats, you know.
One of these films is a straight comedy called So This Is Love. It's really terrific. It ends in a boxing ring, and it's fun. And then the other film is Way of the Strong, which is kind of a gangster melodrama, but it has a sense of humor, too. It's terrific.
Now, there was a movie, a dirt bike movie, made in Wisconsin.
A dirt bike movie?
I did.
What are you talking?
Yeah. A woman, a young woman, was into the dirt bike thing just east of us, off of Highway 90. And she passed away due to an accident. And I'm just trying to find what that is.
This is something in the festival?
Yes.
Oh, this is probably one of our Wisconsin's own selections.
Yes, absolutely.
I've only seen a few of those. Ben Reiser's our guy who's in charge of programming the Wisconsin's own film. Okay. So that's...
it's like Dirty Angels, or I can't remember.
Sorry, I wish I had the title.
I'm trying to find it, and it can't. Okay. There's so many movies,
the guide. You know. Yeah, where can you get a guide, by the way, or online?
This was in the newspaper. Okay. It was in one of the supplements.
It's in Isthmus. Yeah, I don't know if it's been put in one of the other newspers, too. It was in this month's issue of Isthmus.
Yeah, that's where this comes from.
You can get it there.
You still get that.
And we have the full schedule online, which is wifilmfest.org. And,
so general admission is about $12
for
each and every event. And you can buy an all-festival pass, which is $325.
Get you in everything.
But I want to kind of get into the reason why.
Sure.
This is such a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
An idea that has been around for a long time. That's why this film festival is very successful.
Sure.
And that is to see these movies in the theater for the very first time.
Right. And that's
for this generation.
That's the idea. Yeah. I mean, this is why the artists who made them made them. So they're to be seen in a cinema space, right? In a theater where the lights are off, you're with an audience, and everyone's attention is wrapped and everyone's cell phones are off and they're paying attention to one screen all at the same time. This is what movie going is. And so this is an opportunity for people to indulge. And not only that, to see things that, maybe normally would be receiving regular distribution. And some of the films we're showing, you know, will be released on local screens in the weeks and months following the festival, but a lot of things won't. This will be the only opportunity to see, you know, something like Il Capitano, which is Oscar nominated, and several other premieres that we're going to have next week. And this is the chance to see them, you know, as they were intended, with an audience, and to experience the cinema of the world. We have things from almost all the continents and then things from throughout film history, too.
Jimmy, are people going back to the movies, generally speaking? I'm not talking about the festival now, but just overall, is the film industry recovered from the pandemic? Are people going back to see the big blockbusters and all the other movies that are coming?
We definitely noticed a spike in attendance at the festival last year. That seemed to be kind of like, okay, we're coming back, we're here. And then... You know, our trends tend to go with the industry, and that's exactly what was happening with theater. And then suddenly last summer we had the writer's strike and the actor's strike, which put productions on hold, which screwed up the studio schedules. And we're talking about Hollywood here, and the mega productions, and there are less of those being made. And so I think, you know, we've kind of been nationally in a box office slump since like the holiday season. Right. I think things are starting to come back now with King Kong and Godzilla.
That's great. Yeah, that's an amazing series.
Yeah.
It just kind of crept up on everybody, and all of a sudden, all these King Kong, Godzilla movies are out there now.
Yeah, well, then
one got an Academy Award.
The Japanese Godzilla Year Zero that came out last year is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Angels of Dirt is the movie that is local.
Thank you very much. That was the movie I was trying to think of at the Barrymore Theater,
and that is on Sunday.
Great.
7:18, we're coming right back with Jim Healy from the Wisconsin Film Festival.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, "Hey, guys, can I get a dunk?" Somebody throws him the ball. And he runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with a launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know?
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to WRJN's The Don Rosen Show, where this week Don welcomed in former WRJN morning air personality and program director Jim Sorensen, who remembers his years at the station.
At 7:08 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio over Fresno, Civic Media Station. I'm Don Rosen. Tom Carco joining me here in studio today because today is WRJN historical marker number 7, lucky 7. Jim Sorensen, former morning air personality here at WRJN Radio before I got here. And I think he came with the bricks in the building. Jim Sorensen is here. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us this morning. I do appreciate it.
Pleasure being here. I had to get up anyway. I got a colonoscopy scheduled for later.
You don't really.
Figures.
You don't really. Okay, good. I just. Yeah, that last night would have been the worst night of your life. It's not the colonoscopy. It's the night before the colonoscopy. I know. I've had a couple of them. By the way, I did read something the other day. They said they have done colonoscopies where they found living organisms like insects and everything inside during a colonoscopy, and I want my doctor to know if he finds anything in there. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't need to know that.
Yeah, I don't need that either. So, Jim, before we begin with your WRJN career, where am I calling now? Where do you live now?
South Florida, Southeast Florida. I live in Boca Raton.
Okay, when did you start in radio? What year are we talking? That not here, but in radio.
65, maybe late 4, early 5. WFNY in Racine. I have no idea what's happened to it, you know, since then, of course. But in those days, its tower was right outside the studio building, and it was at the land end of the pier down on the lake. And that tower and its light on top served as an aiming point for people who were trying to bring boats into the harbor. That and the lighthouse, of course.
So when did you come to WRJN?
1971. Late in 1971, I'd gotten married earlier in that year, several months earlier, and my wife decided that it would be a good idea if I actually had a job and that paid something. And WRJN in those days was a union radio station, so we all belonged to AFTRA-SAG, and the engineers were IBEW, and I don't think there was another one but the two. It was run like people at the time would have looked at the movies and said, "Oh, that's a radio station. They got a guy who runs the console, and they've got a guy who talks on a big ass microphone and things like that."
Yeah, you did. Now, did you have your engineering? Were you technically an engineer or capable engineer at that point?
I studied physics in college.
Did you?
And one of the things that you learn quickly when you are a physics student is that if you're not really, 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 really good at it, you're going to starve to death. So you go out and you set the exam for a couple of state licenses so you can at least have a job of some sort. I did that. I had state licenses, and then I wrote the exam for the federal license, which was more complicated in those days than it is now. I don't think it even exists anymore.
Okay. Because I remember when I came here in 79 that you had that first-class license. We all saw that up there. It's like, oh, this guy's special.
No, it wasn't anything special about it. It was just what was required to work. The requirement the FCC had at that time was that if you were going to operate the transmitter of a directional AM station, you had to have a first-class license.
Well, for third-classers, that was a big deal, to see a first-class license, okay?
Well,
yeah, you know why? Okay. Because it was,
I never posted the state licenses. Those were actually kind of plain looking.
Yeah. So you start here, and it's an engineer shop, right? You've got union people here. So how does that work? For people who have no concept of this, listening to this, how does that work? You're an announcer. You come in. You have to work with engineers who have to operate the equipment, right?
Yeah, the engineers under the contract at the time, in the IBEW contract, which is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, by the way, those guys, we as announcers, performers on the radio, we could do anything, including what they did in terms of operating the console, turning a microphone on and off, that kind of thing. What we could not do, however, was we couldn't push the record button on a tape recorder. That had to be done by an engineer. And so when we come time to record commercials, for example, we would sit in the studio and with a big microphone in front of us, and the engineer would be on the other side of the glass operating the console, and we would use hand signals back and forth to what we're supposed to be doing. And then we would just lay down the voice tracks, and they would put them into the commercials later on.
Quick story. When I was at WSB, it was a union shop, and we had TV, radio, newspaper. We had everything there in that building. And one day I'm coming down the hallway, and there's a Boy Scout troop getting a tour, and the young lady giving the tour is very small, very short, and she couldn't reach the speaker volume in the hallway so people could see. So I upped it for her. Within 1 hour, I was called to the program director's office with a union grievance against me because I turned the volume up on the speaker. He said, don't ever do that again. You call an engineer, and they will do it. I said, but she was out in the hallway with the... I don't care what she was out in the hallway. Don't do it again. So I never did.
Rules is rules.
Some guys are stricter than others. I mean, we used to have things where when you wanted to know what the level was, you pointed at the number on the dial, and the guy would turn the knob for you. Yeah, it's the same idea.
So who were some of those engineers back then, if you remember?
Dave DeZurich was the chief engineer, and his assistant was a guy by the name of Gene Butterfield. And
who passed away, unfortunately, not too long ago.
Yeah, great engineer, great human being, too. Love that guy.
Yeah, Dave was one of the best engineers I've ever worked for in terms of broadcasting engineers. He went off and worked for IBM after he left the business.
Yeah, David followed Stan Fisher as chief engineer.
I knew Stan quite well. He was a very nice man.
Stan had followed Lee Deccant.
There's a story about Stan, of course. Those of you who have, you know what the building looks like because you guys work in it. But the basement, of course, is, for one thing, it's extra deep. It's very deep, and there's a reason for that. The second thing is it's got a full kitchen in it, and you guys know that, too. And Stan Fisher used to cook lunch and breakfast sometimes down in that kitchen and serve it to the staff. He was a character and a half.
I happened to, out of the blue, Lyman Marin's son David called me last night. I hadn't talked to him in decades. He mentioned Stan Fisher cooking down there. Said he used a garbage can, a metal garbage can, a clean one, I'm assuming, and cooked roast beef in that thing.
I've heard that. I never had the opportunity to participate in it, but I heard the story.
So the story.
You know why the basement is so deep, don't you?
Right. I was going to get to that. Why is it so deep, so tall?
Because at one point, first we'll start outside. Go outside and look at the tower. You'll see the tower is what's called in the tower business a composite tower. It is paper-legged on part of it and straight on part of it. The straight part, which is now a truss or a lattice-type truss, at one point in time, when I joined the company, it was a slot antenna. It was a 2-foot diameter aluminum tube, basically, with a slot down one side that was that length and stood right where that truss is now, and it was for an FM station. The FM station used to broadcast from that. It got to the point where structurally it was so distressed that it was threatening to fall and land on cars in the parking lot, so they decided to spend the money to have a truss put on there since the FM had gone away anyway. It became, I think, WRKR, if I'm not mistaken, in those days.
Jim, we got to take a break here, so can hang on to that, and we'll come back.
Want to hear the story?
Yes,
want to hear everything. Jim Sorensen's here. It is WRJN Historical Marker number 7. Tom Carco joining in the conversation here. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
The Don Rosen Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WRJN weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. It's official. South Carolina remains undefeated.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
The call from ESPN on ABC. The Gamecocks beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 87-75 for the championship title in the women's NCAA tournament. The men's final between Purdue and UConn is tomorrow night. Israel says it's pulled most of its ground troops out of the Gaza Strip. CBS's Holly Williams is in Tel Aviv.
I spoke with an Israeli military spokesman who told me that this is a, quote, evolution of the war effort and not a partial withdrawal.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul's ready for the total solar eclipse tomorrow.
We are literally over the moon to welcome over 1 million people to our state for this once-in-a-generation moment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Bo Ryan is now a Hall of Famer. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Wisconsin Badgers head basketball coach Bo Ryan is headed to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Ryan coached collegiate basketball around the state for 32 years. He's one of a dozen new inductees, including Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups, in ceremonies to be held in August. NBA basketball tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks host the New York Knicks. The Bucks trying to break out of a slump. They've now lost 5 of their last 6 games. Baseball, the Brewers couldn't get enough runs across. They lost last night at home to the Seattle Mariners, 5-3. Pat Murphy and how Gary Sanchez did behind the plate. While catcher William Contreras got the night off, Sanchez working with lefty pitcher D.L. Hall.
Behind the scenes, I thought Gary Sanchez did a great job. First day catching, I thought he controlled the tempo. I was really pleased with Gary. Made a great throw to throw a guy out. Terang, great tag. I'm not going to criticize our offensive approach. That's early in the season. We've got 4 guys that are basically rookies in there. Some guys that, you know, are just getting started.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers with a low around 43. Mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s on your Monday. It will be breezy tonight and tomorrow. For Monday night, partly cloudy, 45. Some isolated showers possible Tuesday. Otherwise, partly sunny and highs in the upper 60s.
Currently, 42 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we go to Mino and the Mayor from WGBW. They welcome Eric Brundridge to talk semi-pro football and his clothing brand, Life Love Incorporated.
California, Pennsylvania? Yep. All right, there you go. I know his conference. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. We're here with Eric. Eric, I want to make sure I pronounce your last name right. Brundridge?
Yeah.
Brundidge.
Yes, you pronounce it right.
Eric Brundidge.
Yeah.
From Life Love Incorporated, and it's a fascinating story, and you're kind of a hot commodity around these parts right now, and it's a great story. I mean, you know, we've had thousands of people come in and try out for the Packers over the years, and, you know, 1% of 1,000 make it, and you stuck around, you played a little bit for the Blizzard, stuck around, and you just liked Green Bay. Give me a little bit of your background before we move into what you're doing now as a And we love talk about entrepreneurs on this show. That's one of our favorite things we love to do. And this is right in our wheelhouse with what you do. Talk a little bit, first of all, about your background, if you don't mind.
So I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
What high school?
Northeast High School.
Oh, that's a tough part of town.
Yeah.
Isn't that by Temple?
Yeah, it's kind of like in the Northeast Philadelphia area. Temple is kind of like closer more to like downtown area.
Okay. All right.
You guys might not know it, but I don't know if you know who Tony Danza is.
Of course. I've met Tony Danza. Actually, I did. I was
standing for him.
Can I finish or no?
Go ahead.
I was working in Tucson, Arizona, KOLD TV, Channel 13. Uh-huh. And Tony Danza came out there to train because he was going to try to do some boxing once again. And he actually boxed an exhibition, and I met Tony Danza. I got to know Tony Danza pretty well.
Was he a nice guy?
Not so good.
Well, we got a nice guy here, so from the same area. Did you guys go to high school? How do you know him? Or he's just from your area?
He had a show that he did my junior year of high school called, I believe it was like Teach.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually at my high school. I actually got an opportunity to work behind the scenes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So we did like a little intern.
You know what my favorite show is right now? Abbott Elementary. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Oh, about that elementary school in Philadelphia? Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, my God. And they got the one hardcore Italian teacher there. You know? So you get a lot of them in Philly, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You definitely do.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So you went to high school in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And?
So after high school in Philadelphia, I ended up getting a scholarship to go to Westchester. And that's kind of where I really dived into, like, you know, my own, you know, because kind of college was giving it, you know, that opportunity to kind of like, you know, be yourself. You don't have to worry about mom and dad. You know, you got to be more responsible, take more responsibility. So that's kind of when I got a little bit more serious about like the clothing brand and football.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yep.
Did John Spagnuolo go to Westchester?
John Spagnuolo.
Played tight end for the Eagles, then the Packers, then became a sportscaster? No. There's somebody in the pros that went to Westchester. I'll think of it. But go ahead.
John Spagnuolo. That name does sound really, really familiar, but we do got a guy by the name of Lee Woodall.
Oh, sure.
Really good.
Absolutely.
One of my former teammates, Al-Hajj Baz, he actually played a little bit as well, too.
Oh, cool.
So how'd you do at Westchester University?
He's always going to interrupt me when I start talking about stuff like that.
I just want to...
Go ahead.
How was your career there? Was that, did you guys winning? Were you a record holder? You must have been because you got drafted.
Hey, well, I mean, I tell you what, we won a lot of games. We actually got an opportunity to play on ESPN before. We got to the Final Four my junior year. So, you know, we actually won a regional championship. So I got a ring for that as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, my experience there was awesome. You know, just being able to have that experience. And I did run a little track there as well, too. I don't know if you guys know that. And I did run track in high school. And
what did you do the 100 in?
My 100 was like 10.6.
Okay, now we're both old. Okay, so we have never been able to translate meters into yards.
Uh-huh.
So when I was in high school, it would be like the 100-yard dash, mm-hmm. and like a 9.5 would be really fast. What would that be compared to like what you did? Any idea?
Shoot, hey, I mean, I'm gonna tell you right now. And if you run a 9.5 and 100 meters, you might.
Well, no, this was 100 yard dash. Yeah.
I know. I'm just giving you stuff.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, like that's you saying Bolt numbers right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't really correlate the two. But I mean, I normally use like 40.
Nobody knows. Nobody. What'd you do a 40 in?
Well, my fastest 40 on clock. Coach Osagi, you know what I'm saying, from Westchester, he'll give me that. I got like a 4.27. But I did run a 4.31 at an actual workout, though.
Wasn't 4.2 something the fastest at the combine this year? I think it set a record, didn't it?
Well, that guy, he was running really, really fast. I mean, he ran like a 4.21 or
something.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah. That's incredible.
Well, you're awfully close.
Yeah, that's like who's got the bigger nose or something where they lean a hand to break the tape by that much more. It's literally like inches apart.
That's impressive. Yeah. So you had a great career at Westchester University, and then you got the phone call.
Yeah, I did. Ended up, Tim Terry, he's no longer here, but when I got the call, I was thrilled. My agent had given me the insight. So, you know, it's funny because at first I thought that I was being prank called. But at the time that I got the call, you know, it was relatively like later on that night. So I was excited about it. And I got the flight, flew out next morning. So.
You know, it's funny. I was just reading a thing about a foreign pack from the 60s. And all these teams had said, oh, we're going to draft you. Well, those teams pop up, and it's like they don't draft them. The Packers had never talked to him. And the secretary in the sports information says, Vince Lombardi's on the phone for you. He goes,
sure.
Right. So he looks, Hillary goes, what? It's like, this is Coach Lombardi. It's like, ah!
Wow.
But he said the same thing. He thought it was his buddy's pranking him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like that's kind of one of those things that like every athlete wants, you know, just to have that experience, right, to have the call, you know.
Well, we're glad you're here. I mean, and that was what, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
6-7 years ago.
So it's Coach McCarthy?
Coach McCarthy over there in Dallas. I don't know if y'all like him right about now.
Oh, we still love him. We still love Coach McCarthy. Do. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love what you said about the city. I want to get to that in just a little while. But so how was the transition back in 16?
So, you know, I ended up coming out, ended up having that experience. Didn't work out the way that I wanted it to, but ended up coming out to work out and play with the Blizzard. So I didn't have a good experience there. I did work out with a couple other teams as well. And I did not mention that, I'm still looking to play ball, man. I'm still looking. This is just, I took the time off last year just to kind of build more of the business and everything. But, like, I've still been diligently doing my training and everything. And, you know, I've had some opportunities to play, but for me right now, I'm just kind of looking for that right opportunity, considerably, maybe like the UFL or, you know, maybe arena, but I don't want to press the guns on that more right now. I'm just kind of just more so settling in and working everything out, but it has to be the right opportunity.
I watched some at UFL game on Sunday. That's good football.
Yeah, it is.
Good football.
I actually got a coach that I'm really close with out there.
So are you on your own, or do you still have an agent going for that?
I still got a guy that I work with.
That's cool.
My guy Rodney. He's my good guy, man.
And he's shaking the bushes for you. So you
gotta have that.
Yeah, you really do.
Absolutely.
You do.
Representation is everything. But I mean, there's guys that's out there that represent themselves. I don't know if you guys know, but Lamar Jackson represents himself as well too.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other guys
and
well.
And he did pretty well.
Yeah, hey, I'll tell you what.
He got paid.
He backed it up too. MVP. Yep. You know?
Yep. So okay, 100 meters is 109.4 yards. Okay, thank you for that. Somebody just texted that.
Oh, dang, I didn't know that.
I didn't know it was further than 100 yards. Okay.
So, the sports thing didn't work out exactly how you wanted, but there's still an opportunity for that. Still might. That's what I'm saying. Right. There's still an opportunity. But your background, you've got a pretty extensive art background, right? Is that...
Well, honestly, like at first as a kid, man, I was always curious. You know, I felt like, you know, when they say you touch the stove, you get burnt. You know, I was one of those kids was like, well, I don't know until I experience it. So I needed to
first hand,
you know what I mean? But no, that experience for me, just my mind always wandered and I was always able to like translate that into like art or like papers. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, I used to always like the Dragon Ball Z characters and wanted to draw all of those things and stuff. And the characters just kind of was one of those things where I was like, oh, these are nice. And I thought in my mind, I created them. And then I actually like wanted to bring them to life. You know, like each character has like their own like backstory, you know, to target some emotional experience that we've all experienced, because I think that we're all the same, but we experience different experiences. but our emotions are just kind of congruent.
That's awesome. I hear what you're saying on that. Like I said, read a little bit about you. You see yourself in a lot of these.
I'm going to hold these up for the people that are watching.
Yeah.
So this is your artwork here.
Yes.
I mean, it's extraordinary.
Explain this one. Like, this is, that's cool. There you go.
So it's one of my Versus canvases. So the concept of the art, one of the things I learned from one of my art teachers when I was in second grade is you don't throw away your artwork, you know, regardless of whether you like it or you don't, you know, you never know. So for instance, that's Paco. So Paco's meaning is just to like tear stuff up. Just go all out for your goals and dreams and don't hold back. And then the Versus canvas that you held up earlier is essentially like a battle of the emotions. Because sometimes we have these battles within ourselves where it's like we either allow or prevent ourselves from going after our own internal greatness. You know, sometimes when it comes to going after your goals and dreams, you might have one of those sluggish mornings that you wake up and you're tired. But, I mean, you just got to keep going, you know. And
and according to Paco, you're going after the chainsaw.
Yeah, that... Paco
that motivates somebody.
Paco doesn't mess around.
I see a chainsaw
scene. I saw that. I think you're right about that. I think there's a lot of internal conflict with people. And then you say that, like, the man Paco, just get out of that. And
yeah, and then the other guy is tough guy. And tough guy's meaning is, like, tough times don't last, but tough people do. So it's like, yeah, like, you know, on the surface, things might not look the right way that you want them to. But if you can internally keep the faith and the mentality as far as working, ferociously for your goals and your dreams, it all pay off in the long run. You know, I think that success is the little things consistently done in a proper way. It's like your habits. Like, how do you carry yourself in the morning, or where's your mind at when it comes to, adversity, you know? And for instance, like, this is Bag Boy. Bag Boy's backstory is on there. So every character have one of those, you know?
Scared of your fears? Me too. It's cool. Though my name is Bag Boy, and I'm here to tell you that if your dreams don't scare you, then you're not dreaming big enough. We all have down times, but just because we are down doesn't mean we are out. It's the down times that makes us special because we learn from them and it can inspire us for greatness. I am with you. That is cool.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So to monetize, you sell this, right? You have a couple stores, or did you open your second store? I read.
I'm in a process right now of opening it. I'm going to do a mural release to the public April 17th. My goal for the store was to open, you know, sometime this month. I will give y'all, you know, more insight later.
Please
on.
Do. That's absolutely.
Off air.
We'll promote that for you.
The April 17th mural, is that public where it's going to be?
That will be public. That's going to be at the actual store.
Okay. All right.
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to take time out to paint the mural on the wall. So I painted the mural. I needed it to dry, and I'm a perfectionist, so I wanted to touch it up and, you know, make sure it's look, you know, nice, unique, and neat. But ultimately for me, Life Love Incorporated is something that's a staple. It's here to stay. It's going to outlive us, you know, because I think that all of us have like a Life Love Incorporated inside of us. Like, we all have a uniqueness. We all been blessed with life, and regardless of who you are, like, you can incorporate something into this earth that we live in. And the whole goal is to help people find whatever it is that we're all internally missing. Because I think that along our journeys, we all have something that's, ambitious about us, you know.
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal.
I want to stay with that, but you had mentioned your second grade teacher. And we were talking, we've had many, many people on the show, and people who influence them. And so often it's these teachers, more than parents sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, God bless the parents. I mean, they're trying as hard as they can. But, you know, that teacher in second grade said, look, don't throw out that artwork. You know, you could. Yep. And here you are, you know, how old are you, 27?
Hey, man, I'm up there now. I'm 30.
Okay. Okay, whatever. All right. But, you know, you still have your artwork. And now it's got a great backstory to it.
So what are your hopes and dreams? And you're talking about this. Some days you're down, some days you're up, and you just got to keep fighting through it.
Yep.
What makes you get up every morning and have that desire to really achieve?
Well, you know what? For me personally, I believe that I found my life purpose. And my life purpose is to serve other people. And I'm able to serve other people through my art and my experiences. I think that we all have something that we can all learn from. It's just being able to express that the best way that you possibly can, you know, and I think that's what makes us special. So that's what I believe my purpose is. And I think I utilize Life Love Incorporated as a way to bridge the gap for people to find their own goals and dreams and navigate through the character.
Phenomenal. And I'm gonna, when we come back, I'm going to show that other picture, that other painting. It's extreme. It's incredible.
Besides painting, you should be talking more.
Yeah.
This guy's pretty motivational. All right.
Want to do a show? Okay. We got to set a quick break. Eric Brundage, Life Love Incorporated, joining us. Fascinating story. Back right after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing's for sure, you'll never regret saving a child's life, because life is a miracle. All gifts are tax deductible and will go directly towards saving babies' lives. Donate securely at preborn.com/givelife. That's preborn.com/givelife. Sponsored by Preborn.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing out the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat welcomes on regular guest Kristen Lierley as she announces some big news, her campaign for Congress.
Time for our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment, where we highlight the women who are making a difference in their local communities and, in many cases, looking to step up and serve their community in new roles. Folks watching on the video feed on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter will also notice that Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good is here. So on the topic of big announcements today, Kate, are you here to announce that you're in labor or not? Is that...
I wish, although we can manifest that. We can just keep saying that and eventually it will happen.
Okay.
Eventually it will happen.
Let's do that when an OBGYN is in the room with you, not on a screen with you, but is actually nearby. So Kate's here to talk about Motherhood for Good and its changing role here on this fine radio program. In just a bit. But like we said, this is the season now with the spring elections over. As we told you in our last segment, former State Assembly Rep Joe Plouffe, after a 20-year hiatus, is coming back on board to run for one of the new seats in Western Wisconsin. We hear tell that another former Republican state rep from Western Wisconsin is probably going to be announcing soon, getting back in the race. So there's not just new faces. There's some old familiar faces as well. Kristen, you have been encouraging people to run for seats in the legislature. What's happening there?
Over a year ago, we launched a campaign that we called 23 for 24. In the 8th Congressional District, we've got 23 seats on the ballot this fall. Last cycle, a third of those seats went unchallenged. This cycle, every single seat will be challenged. Every voter will have a choice in choosing their assembly rep and for those Senate seats that are on the ballot for those positions as well. And two of the most exciting people that I couldn't be more thrilled about are newcomers to the political arena, people who said, you know what, I can do this. This is my time. Renee Peplum Assembly District 1, this is Door County, Kewaunee, and a little bit of Brown. Renee is a young mom. She is a community leader, and she stepped up after the Dobbs decision happened and knew that she was called to serve. And the more she talked with community members, the more she knew that she was the right person. So yesterday, Renee announced she's got a big event tonight in Door County at Peach Barn in Sister Bay. I'm going to be there too. So we're going to have a blast celebrating Renee tonight. And then Alicia Saunders in Assembly District 2. She lives in Kimberly, so part of the valley, but also east, stretching over to Two Rivers. Alicia is a mom. She's a Navy veteran. She is a blue-collar worker, and she has an incredible amount of passion. She is vibrant, and she's going to take over the world. These two women... Oh, I couldn't be more excited to be in their camp.
You know what? They're pretty excited for you too. Wasn't Alicia one of three people that the three women in the area that were thinking about maybe making a run for Congress in the district? She was one, right?
She was one. So Alicia called me one day and said, I really want to do this. And I said, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what this means. Like, what do you bring to the table and how can we work together? And then Kelly Peterson called me and said, I want to run for Congress too. And the three of us put our heads together. Instead of fighting, instead of primarying, we said, how can we all be part of the solution? Well, Alicia, of course, has decided to run for Assembly District 2. Kelly has a big announcement on the horizon. And Pat, I have an announcement too.
You do?
Yeah.
I guess I guess by theory of deduction, we're down to one.
Pat, I am declaring today that I am running for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, and I couldn't be more excited.
This is a big deal. And, you know, first, was it May of last year, I think, there was a news story about you considering making a run for Congress like this. There's been a lot of discussions. There have been, you know, meetings. You've had public forums. So what did it? Because you were talking about challenging Mike Gallagher long before he first abruptly said he was not going to run again, then abruptly announced he's just going to up and quit Congress. You were ready to take him on. So that probably wasn't a factor. What ultimately made you say this is the right race for you?
Well, just like Alicia and Kelly, I just want to be part of the solution. I want to be the most effective leader, the most effective doctor, the most effective woman that I can be. And just as the year has changed, as we've gotten our new maps, as Congressman Gallagher has decided to step away, we see a path here. There is a clear path to victory, even in what in the past has been an R+16 district. With women at the helm, with women voting, with women stepping up and acknowledging that my personal freedoms are being taken away from me. They're looking at democracy. They're recognizing that our democracy is in peril and that it's our job as moms, as small business owners, as community leaders to take the helm and to lead here. So that was the reason.
Kate, this is right in your wheelhouse of talking to all those busy moms out there saying, we know you're busy. You are not too busy to vote when some of these races and issues come up. That sounds to me like it's been your core message.
Of course. You're never too busy to vote. And we're asking people to even go above and beyond that. We know not everybody has time to like go out and knock on doors for a couple hours, but there's so many other ways that you can get engaged and involved and, you know, share things with your friends, whether it's on social media or at daycare pickup or at school or a book club or anything. And like you guys were talking about with the 8th Congressional District, it may not be a toss-up, but it is flippable. And there's a lot of hope there and all the stars are aligning. And if there's ever going to be a time where we're going to be able to do this and flip this, it's right now with this candidate in this political environment. And we are going to be counting on our community and women and families across the state to really rally and get involved and help spread the word and get involved in these elections, both for the federal elections and at the local level, because yes, they are so close.
And flippable is the right word. You just look at what we saw with the Green Bay City Council. You know, just the other day,
yes,
that happens. There were county boards that flipped control this week as well. In every case, it comes down to people who may have once upon a time thought that they were too busy to get involved, getting involved.
And I just want to emphasize a point that Kate made. There is a place for everyone here. get out and vote. Have a conversation with somebody. Volunteer for a campaign. Do something, because this is our time. And really, we hear this all the time. This is the most consequential election of your lifetime. This really is the most consequential election of our lifetime. So let's do this.
Very excited for you. And Kate, we're very grateful for you for stepping up and helping continue to show how women can win Wisconsin, like the two of you. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you,
Pat.
Have such a wonderful day. We will be back to wrap up the show, a little conversation with Luke Mathers next. You're up north.
Up Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy.